Good morning. Come, friends, let us worship the Creator, Redeemer of us all. With hands stretched out toward others, we rejoice that we are privileged to worship the Lord our God. Welcome all. My name is Barb Mostaghimi, and I am a member of the Zion Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcasts on K-Check Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you're visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during the passing of the peace. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. We welcome Reverend Kelly Gallagher, Associate Conference Minister to Zion this morning. Today is Pastor Sana's last Sunday at Zion. The Church Council and Fellowship Committee invite the congregation to a special coffee hour after the service in recognition of Pastor Sana del Corazon. Coffee, beverages, and desserts will be served. Please stop by to thank Pastor Sana for all of her work at Zion and give her your best wishes. The Rada Cutlery orders are in. If you placed an order, please stop by the church office to pick up your items. Thank you to those who participated in this fundraiser. A total of $225, 40% of the sales, went to Zion Fellowship to support their good work both within and outside of Zion. The Church Council is pleased to announce the hiring of Jennifer Trimbo as the administrative assistant. She is currently training with Diane and Victoria and will assume full responsibility on August 13th. Please welcome her in her new position. The LeSueur Food Shelf is accepting donations of school supplies for local students. Bring your donations to Zion during the month of August. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, please contact Pastor Susan. Rehearsals begin on Wednesday, September 9th. On Sunday, September 13th, the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark this date on the calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let's prepare for worship.
One of my students was driving me crazy. Every time I tell him to do something, he'd say, "Why, Mrs. Trotlin?" His persistence was on my brain and reminded me that why is one of the most important questions we can ask, especially as Christians. We need to know our why when people ask us, why do you follow Jesus? Why are you Christian? Why do you believe that? Why do you do that or not do that? We have to know our why. But what I realized as I studied was that our why actually is because of our who. The Apostle John put it so simply. He wrote, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The reason we believe in God and pursue the good of others is because God has stepped into our lives and loved us in a way that no one else ever could. In other parts of Scripture, we're reminded that we've been rescued from darkness and transferred into God's kingdom of light. We've been absolutely absolved of any guilt and shame and made holy in Christ. We've been lost orphans and now we're considered loved children and worthy sons and daughters of the Creator and Father of the world. And because of that, we get to partner with God in loving others. Why do I believe in Jesus, and why do I want to share that with others? Because I know me, and I know there is no way I can save myself from my sin. I know the struggle I battle daily against fear, anxiety, anger, pride, and everything else. But I know over all of my sin, Jesus is my hope, my forgiveness, my acceptance. Because he has loved me, I love him. Because he has loved me, I want to love others. He is my why.
Good morning. Grace and peace be with you this morning. Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost and my last Sunday as your pastor. I want to remind us that we are the church, the people who believe in the good news. Through grace, the Spirit renews us so that we may serve God in love. We believe the good news that Jesus preached, and we know that nothing will ever separate us from God's love. Let us prepare for worship. Please close your eyes if you feel comfortable and take 3 deep breaths. God, fall afresh on us this morning. We are here to hear your word and to worship you. Amen. Please rise, embody your spirit, as we do the call to worship.
Spirit of life, source of possibilities,
breathe your life into us this day.
As we gather on this day of celebration, let us embrace life in its fullness.
Breathe your peace into us this day.
As we listen and reflect, as we deepen and explore, as we sing and share our blessings,
breathe your joy into us this day.
As we imagine the days to come and share our blessings, as we share our gratitude for all you have done and lean into the future you will give,
breathe into us your peace, your joy, your hope this day.
Now and always.
Amen. Please join us for the opening hymn, Great is Your Faithfulness, number 423. please join me for the opening prayer. God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the true vine of life. Enlighten us with your Holy Spirit as we worship today. Abide in us, Lord, that we may abide in you and live in your love. Open our hearts to hear your word and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The next hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory, number 436. All the greatest hits this morning, all my favorites. All right. When we come before God, we remember and proclaim who God is, merciful, just, holy, and loving. We must also remember who we are. We are a people who have not always been the people God has called us to be. We have not always been merciful, just, holy, or loving. So let us confess our sins, trusting in God's goodness to forgive us and create us anew for our lives ahead. Please join me for the prayer of confession. Gracious God, our hearts are restless until they find their home in you. Forgive our pursuits of things that separate us from you. We pursue success, realizing it will never be enough. We desire more possessions, knowing they are empty. We turn towards the world and hope we will find peace, knowing the world cannot provide it. Forgive us, we pray, and may our wandering hearts find their rest in you alone. Amen. Hear the good news. In Christ, we are new creations. The old life is gone. Thanks be to God. A new life has begun. Know you are forgiven and be at peace. May we respond to this grace with grateful hearts, attuned to the pursuit of justice, mercy, and hope for all.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Peace I give you, peace I live with you. May the peace of the Lord always be with you.
And also with you.
Please pass the peace with one another this morning. Let us pray. Eternal God, we gather with you in worship to listen to your word, proclaim and discern your will for our lives. Incline your ear to us as we raise our prayers, petitions, joys, and concerns this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our rock, we are questioning what we once assumed to be sturdy and stable. Our economy feels fragile, our democracy vulnerable, our country angrily divided. Things are changing too fast, and our options feel limited. We don't know what to do to make things better. Life is overwhelming. We, your people, need your help. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, the natural world groans from relief as temperatures rise, wildfires rage, and natural disasters regularly and tragically endanger lives. We pray for those without the resources to build after disaster strikes. We pray for the people of Puerto Rico, my home country, who has been without water. We pray for the sick whose lungs are vulnerable to polluted air. We pray for the evacuated, the refugee, the desperate, and the destitute. We pray for your earth to be renewed. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, save us from ourselves, our violence, our warring madness. Defeat dictators hell-bent on hoarding power for themselves. Protect the innocent from the injustice. Strengthen the honorable. Bless us with the moral courage to follow Christ's way of love. Restore peace in Ukraine. Protect the persecuted in India. Clear a path of peace for Israel and Palestine. Hear the cries of your people. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we are not without help or hope. Acts of compassion inspire us in the face of all this hard and harshness. Communities are collaborating to meet needs in new and exciting ways. People long silent are finding their voice. We are newly aware of what we can accomplish when we work together for the flourishing of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, the greatest threats are those that lead us to lock ourselves down, close our minds and hearts, build barriers to divide and protect. May your spirit encourage our faith as we stand open-hearted, praying and believing in your endless mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we come to you today, hearts full of mixed emotions. We are grateful for the time shared together. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to lead, shepherd, and serve this church community. Thank you for the messages preached, the prayers prayed, the tears shed, and the joy we have experienced together in your name. As we look forward to our future, prepare our hearts for this new path you have for each of us, and continue to build your kingdom in this place. Lord, in your mercy. Now, as the body of Christ and the covenant community, we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 and 11 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen. The Gospel for this morning is John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the words that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Okay, so about 5 years ago, I lived in a house with a large patch of white hydrangeas, bushes on the north side of the house. And I'm acting like I know that it was the north side, but I know that's the side that needs less light. And I know these hydrangeas need less light. Although they looked beautiful, the plants were overgrown with many dead branches, crowding out the healthy buds. So one Saturday morning, I grew frustrated with the bushes, and I decided to prune them by removing many of the dead branches. I got scissor happy and practically cut off half of the flowers to make room. I don't remember looking up how to prune hydrangeas, nor did I look up if it was the right time to do so. That's not the kind of plant mom I am. But I went and did it. When I was done, I was afraid I had ruined the flowers, but I also saw the possibility for the remaining plants to be healthier without the dead branches. What do you fail to prune because you're afraid it will die? What could live more abundantly if we get past our fear that it might die? John 15:1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. The vine was a common image used in ancient religion. Vines were often used to portray fruitfulness, dependence, union, and pruning. Even if you've never tended a vineyard, most of us have seen a grapevine one time or another. If you look closely, you will see that there are many intertwined branches winding their way around each other in intricate patterns of tight curls that make it impossible to tell where one branch starts and another ends. This is not just intricate. It's intimate. The vine shares with its branches the nutrients that sustain it. It is the life force of the whole plant. The vine is one with the branches. The main part of tending the vine is taking care of its branches. It is the vine that supports the branches, and this support allows the branches to bear fruit. In today's gospel, Jesus uses this image to describe his relationship to his followers. John 15:2 says, God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. God is the loving vine grower. A vine grower is more than just a gardener. She knows all of her grapes, how they grow, what they need, when they need it. A vine grower's grapes remain with her for decades. She comes to know each and every vine intimately, for they are unique and different. She knows how each vine fares from year to year, which one is more productive. She knows how each vine responds to various forms of caring for the vines and how best to care for each individual vine. It is amazing to think about, but people who cultivate vines say that every vine seems to have its own personality. In this translation, the Bible says the unfruitful branches are removed. The Greek word for remove is erai, which can be translated to either lifts up or takes away. Some versions of this scripture translate it to cut off, which is not exactly what erai means. The Greek word erai means lifts up or takes away, but never cuts off. Vine growers know that grapevines, if left unattended, will grow along the ground and send little roots down into the soil rather than produce any fruit. Drawing nutrients from the soil where their own roots cannot get deep enough, grapevines will produce small clusters of bitter clusters. So the vine grower comes along, seeing branches laying on the ground, will lift up the branch off the ground and support it in the air with trellis or lattice work. This way, the branch has no choice but to draw on all its sustenance from the vine, and as a result, will produce many sweet clusters of grape. When we understand what it means for God to erai an unfruitful branch, we see a different picture of God, the vine grower. It depicts a tender, loving God who cares for his creation and wants it to produce fruit. This is not a picture of judgment on an unproductive branch, but it shows how much God loves us and tenderly takes care of us by lifting us up. No vine grower would immediately cut off any unproductive branch without giving it the opportunity to produce fruit. If a vine grower always cuts off unproductive branches, the vine grower would not have any fruit, for all the branches have unproductiveness from time to time. Similarly, God, the vine grower, rather than cut off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, lifts up where we can bask in the sun and get nutrients from the vine. God preserves and nurtures the unfruitful branches so that we can produce fruit in the next season. I did not expect to leave Zion after only 5 months. My time here as your pastor was too short, and I am grateful for the opportunity to serve this community. I accept that this wasn't my season to produce fruit here. But I do hope that God, the vine grower, continues to lift you up. My prayer is that you and I remain connected to our tender and loving God. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Jesus said the word abide 8 times in this passage. So if God is the vine grower, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, what should we do? We have only one task: abide. To stay, to cling, to depend on, to persevere, to commit, to endure, to make ourselves at home in Jesus. Abide is a tricky word. It's passive on the one hand and active on another. To abide is to stay rooted in one place, but it also means to grow, to change, and to multiply. In the last chapter 14 of John, the last verse, Jesus says to his disciples, "Come now and let us move," or "rise and let us be on our way." He is inviting his disciples to get moving. That passage is immediately followed with words to abide in him. So there's a tension here. The word abide would suggest being planted in place, rooted, fixed. But before, Jesus commands to rise up, puts us in motion, in mission, in work that bears witness and bears fruit at the same time. Both of these activities are dependent on abiding in Jesus, the real vine. Jesus says these final words to his disciples during Jesus' farewell discourse. John's gospel is the only one which goes into great detail about what Jesus told his disciples during the Last Supper in the upper room. John 13 to 17 is called the upper room discourse, and it is the most intimate and most loving sermon by Jesus in the Bible. And 1 John is written entirely about the importance of abiding in Christ. See, Jesus knew his time was short with the disciples. It was the night before he turned himself in, so he gathered his disciples together and he gave them his final teachings. In them, he invites his followers to abide in him as I abide in you. Soon, the disciples would leave that upper room and leave behind all they knew as their world would change quickly, more quickly than they could imagine. As their world would enter a perpetual state of flux, they would learn that following Jesus faithfully means trusting Christ in every season and abiding in him to produce good fruit. Jesus said, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Christians confuse this sentence all the time. They think that Jesus is saying, "You have to remain in me for me to stay with you." But that's not it. We are able to remain in Christ because Jesus has promised to remain in us. This is not a demand. This is an invitation. Jesus says, "I'm a part of you wherever you go, whatever you do." It's never only in the church that keeps us connected to God. It's the living and breathing, unshakable reality of God who has claimed, blessed, and encouraged us. We mess this up when we think that being branches means we have to strive to be the best branch we can be. The truth is, branches just have to stay put, stay attached, abide in Jesus. Branches don't have to be anxious. They don't have to strive. They don't have to do anything other than rest on the source of life that comes from and remains with Jesus. It gives thanks as the life that pours through them then bears fruit. Know that the vine has us and will never let us go. God has claimed us. God has loved us. God will always be with us. And if there is pruning to do, know that this is not anyone's fault or anyone's failure, but this is the work of the vine grower who knows what he is doing and is making room for new life and more fruit. The vine is bigger than the branches. No matter how many branches fall, the vine will continue. So losses are not moral failures. Losses are part of the story that shape us and that place us where the vine nourishes us. Losses point us to what is never to be taken away. God is with us. God loves us. And God has claimed us. And when a branch is pruned, we can see better the vine. God described himself in a variety of ways. Jesus described himself in a variety of ways. Bread, light, lamb, shepherd, and in this scripture, the true vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Without the vine, there will be no branches. And without the branches, there would be no fruit. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." It's a done deal. Meaning, whether we like it or not, our lives are bound up in Christ and in each other. If we become detached from Christ, then we cut ourselves off from the source of life. But when we abide in Christ, the vine will continue to be nourished. Abiding in Christ is more than just believing in him. It means following him. 1 John points out to abide means we must love one another. We must walk as Jesus walked. We must be strong in our faith and do the will of God. Here is what Jesus is saying in 1 John. Fruit is not automatic. It must be cultivated. The fruit yielded by the harvest is love. The abundant love of God flourishes from the vines to and through the branches. Jesus, who is love embodied, connects us to our beloved God. We are the recipients and carriers of this love. We are pruned to love more. That love surrounds us, upholds us, nourishes us, refreshes us. That love makes us love. It is both who we are and what we do. Love. Bearing fruit means engaging as individuals and as the church in those activities and tasks that recognize and invest in the goodness of God's love. We do this. We do this by loving our neighbors. My encouragement to you, Zion, is to abide in Christ. God's promises to us are relational, purposeful, and transformational. At the heart of God's promises is the assurance of God's abiding presence and connection. These promises let us know who we will become as we are more and more firmly rooted in Christ. The vine and vineyards depend upon connection and the deliberate and constant cultivation of that connection that is rooted in the fertile soil of God's love. So I urge you, Zion, let your light shine. Stay rooted in God. Abide in Christ even through seasons of change and loss. Bear the fruit of love everywhere and always. And be the church Jesus has called you to be here in Lesore. May the grace of God be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
heard the good news and being assured of God's love and grace, our only response is one of gratitude. Let us give thanks for what we have and who we are. Let us give our offering. That we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our church community is constantly changing. People come and go, babies are born, children grow up. People commit themselves to one another. Loved ones and friends among us come to the end of their lives. Individuals move into our community and church life. Others leave us, growing towards new places. New experiences, new opportunities. It is important and right that we recognize these times of passage, of endings and beginnings. Today, we share a farewell with our interim pastor, Reverend Sana Del Corazon.
We give thanks to God for the gifts and talents that God has given us. That you were willing to exercise these gifts here. God has blessed us through you.
Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us with your departure.
I give thanks to God for the ministry here and for being able to serve this community. As I leave, I ask forgiveness where I have failed you. I assure you of my love and prayers.
God knows our hearts, our fractures, and the ways we have fallen short of love. We gather not to pretend that all is well, but to acknowledge this ending under the mercy of God.
Holy God, we confess that we have not always walked in unity. There is hurt between us, words left unsaid, and expectations unfulfilled. Forgive us where we have failed each other in anger, pride, or weakness.
Do you, the members and friends of Zion UCC of Lesueur, release Reverend Sana del Corazon from the duties of interim pastor?
We do.
We release you from your promises and expectations to this place. Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
We release you from your promises and expectations of this place.
Do you, Reverend Sana del Corazon, release this local church from turning to you and depending on you?
I do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for the continued ministry here and on the relationship with another who will come to serve?
I do, with the help of God.
On behalf of the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ, I am witness to the words spoken here, words of thankfulness, forgiveness, and release. The member churches of our conference hold each of you in prayer, and we pledge our support in all of the transitions signified in this service.
May God ease our steps, and what is torn in us, and lead us all towards truth and healing.
Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for our time together and commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever.
May all of you go in peace, for our God goes with each of you.
Amen. Amen. us hear these words. Go now and love one another, because God is love, and love is from God. Go now and remain in Christ, like branches of a vine. Draw your life with him as the true vine. May God, the vine grower, tend you and make you fruitful. May you abide in Christ, who gives you life. May the Holy Spirit cast out all fear and fill you with God's love. May you go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.